book of Judges, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to reread these verses of Scripture. We're going to read verse 33, and it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all of their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. You're familiar, it's been a little while. We've had the revival and other things, but you remember back the great battle that took place, and Gideon with 300 put the Midianites to run, and then after that, other people of the Israelites gathered together also, and they was delivered out of the hands of the Midianites. We won't go back and do all of that, but I'm just saying to you, after that happened, of course, Gideon died. The scriptures before there that we had read before, Gideon died, and the Bible tells us he had 70 sons, and because he had many wives. He also had a son from a concubine. And so the Bible then talks to us about what happened after he died here, and it tells that the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. I just want to put kind of two things together here real quickly. I can't remember, truthfully, whether we did this the last time we taught or not, but I want to remind you of something. There's a connection between our love for God and our love for people. And this is very, very important, because you notice here in verse 34 talks about that they had forgot God. In verse 35, it said neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. The Bible is just simply telling us that, and I'm going to take you over to Matthew, the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, for just a few moments. But the Bible is telling us it's our relationship with God certainly affects our relationship with people. That's a simple truth. That's a simple principle, I understand. But it's one we need to remember, because it's important that we keep our relationship with the Lord right so our relationship with people can be right. But over in Matthew, and let me turn there, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 37th verse, 37th verse, you notice it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is, again, it's just a principle that I wanted to bring out. I wanted to remind you that the Bible teaches us we're to love the Lord thy God. And the next commandment is that we should love our neighbors. And without a love for God, it's just an impossibility to have the right kind of love that we ought to have for our neighbors. The two go together. So that's why it's very, very, very important that we keep a right relationship with our Lord, because that makes a difference in our relationship with other people. When Israel, the men of Shechem, forgot God, they also then did not treat Gideon's family right. And again, it's just a connection there. Do me a favor. You can look at your relationship with people. If you have a lot of trouble with people, relationship with people, check out your relationship with the Lord. Make sure that you're right with Him. Make sure there's a sweet relationship between you and the Lord, because He puts a love in us for people. Now, listen to me, folks. It doesn't mean that you're going to agree with what everybody does. You know that. But there's a connection between the two. We just need to love people. We need to love them in the Lord. Okay? You don't have to agree with everything everybody does, but you need to love them as a brother and sisters in Christ. And so I just kind of wanted to re-mention that principle is there, and it's one that I think will help us in our relationships, certainly with people. Now in chapter 9 of Judges, if you remember, they chose, and I don't want to take time to go back on all of it, but you remember Abimelech was the concubine's son, and he's the one that rose up after Gideon's death and began to want to take leadership. And the people of Shechem chose him as their leader. He came forth and offered himself, and he was going to be the one that would lead the people, and the people chose him. They accepted him. And I think, as I remember when we discussed this, I believe the last time we talked about how that we choose who we are going to serve. We make that choice. Are we going to let the spiritual life that is in us be the one that rules us? Somebody is going to sit on the throne. Somebody is going to rule. And is it going to be that carnal man, or is it going to be that spiritual man? And I'm sure we did not do this at that time, but I want to go back over to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, for just a few moments. Sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And I want to, verse 16, remember, we have choices in our life, what we're going to do with our life, what we're going to do with the members that we have, our hands, our feet, our minds, our mouth, all of these things, we have a choice who we're going to yield them to. And that's what he says in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You get the principle. You know, we have a choice of who we're going to yield ourselves to. And we choose who's going to be the ruler of our life. Is it going to be that carnal flesh, or is it going to be the Spirit of God? And we choose that. And it's very, very important we understand that now that we are the Lord's, we belong to him, that all things should be committed to him. Our hands should be committed to him. What we do with our hands, what we think with our mind, where we go with our feet. You see, all things should be, the mouth, what we speak with our mouth should be committed unto him. And that's committing to righteousness. Where we used to, before we was saved, our life was really just turned over to the ways of the flesh, the ways of carnality. But now that we're God's children, it's different. If you most of you in here, you've lived the Christian life, you know what you've seen this in other people's life, but you see people yielding their life over to the ways of the flesh and carnality, and yet claiming that they know the Lord. There's a conflict there. Something very wrong there. Because once we become God's child, we're to yield our members, everything over to the Lord. So again, I say to you, we choose. Just like the people of Shechem chose Abimelech as their leader, so will we choose who's going to rule us. Okay? Again, that's just a principle that I think that's very important. While you're over in the New Testament, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Just another thought here before we leave there. 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter. And I'll just read one verse for sake of time here. But he says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know, I've believed for a long time, I've believed that we could just settle so many problems in our life if we just obey that verse of Scripture. You see, and I think I mentioned this before, you know, you hear this all the time, "I don't see anything wrong with this, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, what does this hurt, or what does that?" That's the wrong thing to ask. The thing to ask is, does it glorify God? Because the Bible, that's what he says, that whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Does it bring honor to God? Does it harm the honor of the Lord? And so it would solve so many questions in our life if we would just get up of a morning and decide that, you know what I'm going to do today, I want it to not bring dishonor to the Lord, that it would be an honorable thing that day that I would live. And it would solve so many problems. It would solve all the problems that people argue over, that they don't see this is wrong and that is wrong and all of these kind of things. If they would just say, does it bring glory to God? Is it glorify the Lord? Is it a life that would honor him? And it'll just solve so many things. So again, who we choose to rule over us is going to determine how we act, what we do. And again, I think that's just a principle that is very important. Now, we're still in the New Testament. You say, "Brother Ross, why does it make any difference? What really does it hurt? Why does it make any difference if we don't do everything to the glory of God?" Well, I want to show you something, and I think you already know, but I want to remind you of something. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, please. 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians. In verse number 9, he says, "For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You say, why should we care? What does it really matter? Well, because one day our works as a Christian, our life as a Christian, is going to be judged. That's why it matters. And every single one of us, I don't care who you are, if you're born again, if you're God's child, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and so will I. And everything that we do, how we've lived our Christian life, will be judged. And according to the word of God, they would be tested by fire. If it's not that which stands the test of fire, it'll be burnt. And loss will happen to us, not our soul. Our souls will be saved, but loss will happen. And I'm just simply saying to you, we ought to live with that in mind. I believe we ought to live every day with a reminder that, you know what, we're going to stand before the Lord. So I want to encourage you, please, please choose the Spirit of God to control your life. Please choose Him, not the carnal, fleshly way. Every day you live, all through the day, do your best to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and live a life that would glorify God Almighty. Honor Him. Amen. Don't you think that's a good principle? I do too. All right, let's go back to the book of Judges, please. We notice in the book, chapter 9, we know there's a young man by the name of Jotham. He is the youngest son of Gideon. And when the sons of Gideon were slain, and that's what happened, Abimelech came and slayed, it says, 70. I think I mentioned to you, I believe they did slay 70. Only one got away, the youngest son got away. And he came after that, and he came to a, let me see here, what's it? Oh, in verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." And this young man came. What I am told is that this was a flat rock that was very high above a valley. And he came and he stood upon that. And it was kind of sheer cliffs, the way I understand it. He stood upon this and cried out to the men of Shechem below. And the acoustics must have been very good because they could hear him. And he gave to them a parable. And the parable, we call it the parable. And in fact, I believe it's the first parable that's in the Bible. But he gave to them a parable of the trees. And he began to talk to them. And you look in verse number 8, he says, "The trees went forth at a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us." And what he's doing, he's using the trees as the men of Shechem. When he calls out, said the trees went to anoint a king over them. First of all, I believe the olive tree here probably is in reference to Gideon himself, because Gideon was asked to rule over them, and he refused. You remember we talked about that. But in verse 9 it says, "But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherein by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And then the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?" If you notice here, and this is Brother Ross saying this, but I believe also probably maybe one of the other sons, maybe the oldest son of Gideon was offered, and he's referred to here as the fig tree, maybe to be their king. He also refused. And then we find that then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And if you notice here, probably what I'm saying here, you notice it's a vine. More than likely, some of the sons as a group was maybe offered to be the leadership of these people of Shechem. They refused also, just like their daddy had refused. And then all at once, when they would not rule over, because you see the problem was the Lord was their ruler. If you remember back, they didn't need a king. They didn't need somebody to rule over them. The Lord was their ruler. See, that was the problem. They was looking for somebody else to rule over them other than the Lord. And again, that kind of refers back to this thing of the flesh. The flesh wants to rule. Have you found that out? It wants to rule. It wants to be the one that's the king sitting on the throne, and God doesn't want that. God wants himself to be our ruler, the Spirit of God to rule us. So then, when that would not take place, they said, then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And of course, the bramble here is a picture of Abimelech himself. They came to Abimelech, which is a bramble. And let me say to you, if you notice the other trees that were mentioned, all were fruit-bearing trees. And any time the Spirit of God rules over you, there's fruit that will bear. They always will be. But the bramble was not a fruit-bearing bush. And again, let me just mention to you, and what I really believe this is trying to picture to us, it's a principle there, that the bramble is a picture of the flesh. It produces no good fruit. It can't without Jesus. It's impossible. Can't do any good thing without Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the only way that the flesh can produce anything that is good. So the bramble here, of course, was a picture here of I believe, the flesh. And it was, of course, talking about Abimelech. And Abimelech ruled over them. And again, I say to you, the flesh will never produce any good fruit. There's no good in the flesh. I'm talking about by itself. The only way it can is with the Spirit of God ruling the flesh. And then good things can happen, you see. And so what happens is the old bramble would just entangle things, and that's what the flesh does. It just entangles and destroys its victim. If you're turned over, if you turn your life over to the flesh, you're headed for destruction. Just the way it is. That's why it's so important that God's people, we as God's people, don't let that flesh rule. We can't do that. We must let the Spirit of God rule. See, we've heard a lot of preaching in the last months and things. We heard it in our revival meeting about the Spirit of God. You see, being in control, that is so, so important that we understand he doesn't want to just be in control part of the time. He wants to rule our life every moment of every day. And let me say to you, that is a battle that goes on. Amen? It's a battle. And so just remember that. Trust God. Believe in him and let him rule your life. Because what happens when the flesh takes over, the blessings of God are removed from our life. You don't want the blessings of God removed. You just want to follow him every day and let God's blessings be upon you, you see. Okay? Now, Abimelech only ruled for 3 years. 3 years. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 22. He says, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, you notice that there's a limit. There's a season. He only ruled for 3 years. Let me tell you, the old flesh may rule for 60, 70, or 80 years, but there's a stopping point. And the old flesh isn't going to rule anymore. But with the Spirit of God, there's no stopping place. It's eternal, you see. And so it's important. There was a stopping place here. And what God did then, and I'll read it in verse 23, after 3 years, he says then, verse 23, he says, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And the men of Shechem laid liers in wait for him at the top of the mountain, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. In other words, what happened is God sent an evil spirit. There comes a time when the parable of Jotham is going to come true. Exactly is going to happen. So, and I'm going to use this again. This is chicken day. My daddy used to say the chickens always come home to roost. Did your daddy, you remember that statement? See, we had an old barn out there, and we had chickens running all over the yard out in there, the barn lot. And of a night, they would go in that old barn, and they'd roost in that barn. My dad used to say about troubles and people who caused trouble, people who did things that was bad, he'd say, let me tell you something, the chickens will always come home to roost. And let me say, with Abimelech and these people who followed him, the chickens came home to roost. And they always will. See, that's the thing you and I must remember. We've got to remember there's a day, there's a judgment day, there's a time coming. You see, it's not worth letting the flesh rule. It isn't worth it. No, because the chickens are going to come home to roost. And it's just going to happen. I remember a man years and years ago. It was when my office was just right in there, in that door there. And a man came in, and he was mad and raring. And he sat across the desk from me, and he stuck his finger right against, not on my nose, but close to it, and said, I am going to ruin you. I remember that so well. And the problem was that years went by, and his family suffered terrifically. Just terrible things happened in his family, heartaches, troubles. And now let me say this, because it's important. I don't believe that God looked down from heaven and said, you got after my servant Bob Ross, so I'm going to get you. I believe why he did it, why God moved in his life, was because this man violated the principles of the Word of God. He violated God, and I believe he was a saved man. I really believe he is a saved man. He's still living today, but he's a broken man today. What I'm simply saying to you, the chickens will come home to roost. You just better be careful. You see, we can be big shots. In fact, down through the years, you may be able to kind of know this yourself, but down through the years, I've seen men, big shots, just really thought they was really something. And so seemingly everybody else thought they was, and they was a big shot, they was going to do this, and they did this and that, but years later they was brought low by God. You see, what I guess one of the things I want to encourage you about, oh my goodness, time's up, I want to encourage you about is this: wait on God. I'd like to take you to Scripture. Can you imagine for Jotham, for 3 years after he gave that parable, wondered when it was ever going to happen? 3 long years, but it happened. And I'm saying to you, wait upon the Lord. Okay? Father, thank you for your kindness and goodness. In Jesus' name.